it's time for Live at the Sports Attic, our fantasy football program, where we focus solely on the DraftKings main slate coming up this Sunday. My name is Alfred Ferdinand Lurcher III, and I welcome you to the program. Kirk Lawrenson is on assignment. He might be checking in with us a little later, but it is a magical week in fantasy football where, for years, people have been betting on, Tony Pollard to go off and take Zeke's place. Well, it looks like Zeke is out, and Tony Pollard is going to be the man this week, and he's going to be a feature in a lot of lineups, right now projecting at 33% ownership. So Tony Pollard can be that guy. And Clark Lawrenson's flying down to Dallas to give us an inside information and to witness this moment live. It is bargain bin week, which is very exciting. It's one of my favorite weeks in fantasy football, where there's really not a lot of expensive pieces. You can do whatever you want this week. And that's because the quarterback pricing is really low. And there's even a $4,000 punt with Sam Ehlinger of the Indianapolis Colts, who's, stepping in and taking over the starting duties. And he's a young guy. He's, I believe, a sixth-round pick of the Indianapolis Colts. He's got great legs. He likes to run. He's one of those guys who could get you the points on the ground, a la Justin Fields, and doesn't have to do a lot through the air. And, they're playing the Washington Redskins, which it's pretty easy to do a lot on. So his ownership's really high right now. He's looking at 19%, because what people are doing is they're realizing that there's not a lot of top-end quarterback play this week. The highest ceiling on this slate, this is the main slate, the 11-game main slate, is 34 points from Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts, they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. So there's a question whether this game is even really going to be, that important, where they don't just keep running. They don't just keep feeding the ball to Miles Sanders. And, Jalen Hurts kind of takes a week off, relaxes a little bit. Philly's projected by 10.5 points. So to spend, $8,300 on a quarterback this week just seems insane. The next highest priced quarterback is Kyle Murray at 7,500. We'll talk a little bit more about him, because he's in one of the three games with a over 49 points, which is what we like to look at. There's only three games this week over 49 points with over and under. Every other game is under 44 points. So there's just a wide gap, which is very exciting, because I think one of those lower scoring games that are projecting the score will go off and probably win you a slate in a tournament. So that's going to be something really to look at. And the top end games are actually pretty sexy. You have Miami, you have Detroit, you have Arizona, you have Minnesota, you have the Raiders and the Saints. And there's players you're going to like in every one of those games. And there's scenarios that are absolutely perfect. And we'll talk about the golden one, the one with the highest over-under, 51.5, Detroit-Miami, in just a second. But back to the quarterbacks. So you have Kyle Murray at 7,500, and you have Jalen Hurts at 83. The only real ceiling there is Jalen Hurts at about 35 points. Everyone else projects under 30 points, every quarterback on the slate. And you have, about 15 quarterbacks that are projecting between 26 and 20 points. So a 6-point difference. So you don't have to worry about like a Josh Allen going off this week and just owning the slate. There's so many ways around it. And that's exciting, because all the prices are down. The highest priced quarterback outside of the main two is Dak Prescott at 6,600. So there's just so much value here. It's going to be fun to play, and don't sweat the quarterback situation this week. I don't know if the punt play is right. If 20% of the field is going to be going to the Indianapolis Colts quarterback, because he's the flavor of the week, and he's so damn cheap, you get so much value there. He's $4,000. So if he puts up, 16 points, he just tripled his value. And if he puts up 20, now you're talking about a 4-time multiplier on a guy. Which is great, but I mean, realistically, he's probably going to give you 17 points. And, the question is going to come is if those $2,000 are really needed. And I don't know that they are, because everything is so cheap this week. There's just not a lot of danger in spending up a little bit at quarterback and getting maybe a little bit of a higher floor and a better ceiling. And we'll talk about some of those guys. Well, let's start with the Miami Dolphins and the Dallas, the Detroit Lions. That game has a 51.5 over under. Right now, the Miami Dolphins are 3.5-point favorites. And of the three games with the higher over and unders, the highest owned quarterback, the game most people are going to levitate towards is the Miami Dolphins and that team stack. Right now, Tua Tagovailoa is projected at 14% ownership, which is, I think, the second highest on the slate. And, you know, he's a great value, 6,200. There's great reason for him to be the guy this week. The Detroit Lions cannot stop the pass, so there's just going to be so much air ball in this game. There's going to be so much passing and just a lot of, like, it's just going to be a fun game. It's going to be a fun game all around because the Miami Dolphins, on the flip side, they can't stop the pass. They're great against the run, but they're terrible against stopping the pass. So, you know, Armand St. Brown, he went out last week with a quote-unquote concussion that wasn't really a concussion, and he's going to have a monster week this week. He's a guy I'm very excited about. I was excited about him last week, and I think he would have had a great week, but he was taken out under that the BS concussion protocol. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for, you know, the NFL taking care of the players and taking concussions very serious. I was appalled when Tua went out and was put back into the game. I mean, that was just disgusting. But Armand St. Brown being taken out of the game because of an observation when I don't even think he had a concussion is pretty ridiculous too. So they're just going to have to find middle ground there. Right now, I mean, the obvious thing with Tua and what makes this the stack of the week, this is the game everybody is stacking, and this is the team everyone's stacking, is because it's so easy. He throws to two guys. He throws to Tyreek Hill, and he throws to Jalen Waddle. Right now, they're probably, especially with Ja'Marr Chase going down, they're probably the best wide receiver duo in the league. And the only expensive piece in this puzzle is Tyreek Hill at 8,500. And he's got 25% ownership because, again, everything's just so damn cheap around it. So he's definitely going to be worth a play. I definitely want him in a double stack with Tua. I think I'm going to double stack this game. I may fade on Tyreek Hill a little bit and try to get creative to get away from the chalk. Instead of doing Hill Waddle, I might throw some Gesicki in there too. You know, he projects well. He's 3,800, so he's a very cheap play. He's coming in at under 5% ownership right now with a 13.5-point ceiling. So Michael Gesicki is just a great pivot away from Tyreek Hill just to differentiate yourself a little bit from the field. You can do the Hill Waddle. As I said, it's very affordable, but it's going to be very chalky. Waddle's coming in at about 10% ownership. So you have Hill at 25, you have Waddle at 12, and then you have the quarterback at 14. You know, it gets a little dicey, especially if you want to run it back on the Detroit side with Armand St. Brown, because he's going to be at 13% ownership. So if you are going to do this stack, and I do say you do, you're definitely going to want some exposure here. Getting creative is going to be key. And, you know, there's a couple ways to do it. Instead of playing the Miami side, you know, shoot for golf and go the Detroit side. There's not a huge difference between the two as far as ceiling goes. You're talking about, you know, a 25-point ceiling versus a 22-point ceiling in the difference between Goff and Tua. And you're saving $700 coming off of Tua and going to Goff. So you get a little bit less of a floor. But if this game is going to be a shootout, man, Goff's going to get there. We've seen him do it. You know, it's fine. You know, he put up 37 points against the Seattle Seahawks. You know, 74 snaps. That was an up-tempo game. And, you know, he threw the ball 39 times. This is a game where they're going to throw a lot. You know, like I said, Miami's pretty stout against the run. The way you attack this team is through the air, and that's what Detroit's going to do. So he's going to throw 35-plus times. I mean, that's almost a lock. We did see him throw 41 times against Minnesota and only put up 14 points. So there is risk involved with it, but to come off the field and save $700 just might be a good play. And then the double stack with Detroit is possible too. I probably might just single stack Detroit, maybe have a run back or a double stack on Miami. There's just different ways to approach this game. You know, I wouldn't be uncomfortable doing a single stack with Goff to St. Brown, because you're getting off the ownership with Goff to begin with. The St. Brown is a pretty safe play. I do want to mention Khalif Raymond is probably going to get some plays here. And, you know, he's been playing well. Josh Reynolds is the number two wide receiver, is projected at 10 points. He's 5K, you know, 15-point ceiling. I think that's definitely a guy who you can play as well. There's not a big difference in projection between Reynolds and Raymond, so go with whatever you want. If you need to save $700, go with Raymond. But if you have the $700, probably go with the safer play of Reynolds. Right now, neither are projecting for any ownership, so that's another good way to get at this game. And I don't think people are going to do a lot of double stacking this week. I think there's people are going to be inclined more. I mean, generally, people don't like double stacking. I think it's key. You know, it's a technique I use to win large tournaments, and I've won two of them with the technique. But when there's so much money available, people are going to want to build dream teams. You're going to be able to do that by single stacking. You know, if you single stack Goff with, say, Josh Reynolds, it's not a crazy call. And, you know, you save all this money. You could go out there and you could just buy all the studs on all the other teams. I will mention TJ Hockenson is also in play, 4,900, 17-point ceiling, which I believe is one of the higher ceilings in the game. Yeah, I mean, he's like fifth highest ceiling behind Hill, Brown, Waddle, Mozart, Swift, and then Hockenson. I'm not playing Swift. I'm just like Miami. Like I said, Miami is good at stopping the run. And, you know, he looks to be projecting pretty low, which might be a reason to play him, to be contrarian. He's only looking at about 5% ownership right now. But he still seemed a little banged up. And even if he's full go, Miami has a good shot to shut it down. And this game is just going to be a passing fiesta. So the 6,800 on Swift is just risky this week. If you want to get contrarian in a chalky build that's not involving the Detroit Lions, I think he's a good piece to play. But otherwise, I think I'm fading him, especially in this any game stack right now. So I would be looking at, you know, Hockenson and Reynolds. And, of course, Hill, St. Brown, Waddle. Mozart's a good play. I think Miami, obviously, they're going to be able to run on Detroit. And if they want to control the ball on the ground, they could do so. But this game just feels like it's going to be a passing frenzy. And you might as well just feast on all the air yards you're going to get through this game. So very exciting. I'm saying definitely play it. You know, we've seen the last couple of weeks where the highest over-under generally involves a lot of players with a lot of chalk and a lot of expensive pieces that just kind of caps the ceiling, because once you spend all that money, I mean, there's just nowhere to go. And I don't think that's the case with Miami-Detroit. The other second highest over-under is the Raiders-New Orleans. There's still some questions. You know, it looks like right now, you know, Waller's out and Moreau is going to play at the tight end position. He's 3,100, so that's a great price. That's a guy I'm definitely going to be looking for in a stack. You know, Derek Carr, 5,900. He's on the higher end of quarterbacks this week as far as pricing goes, which is crazy. But he's a guy he can get. He absolutely can get the 300 yards and have a big game for you. He has a ownership's projecting around 8% right now. which makes me a little queasy because, you know, the stud of this game, the star is going to be, you know, Josh Jacobs has just been absolutely on fire these last couple weeks. And DraftKings finally got around. They got the intern to raise the price up on Josh Jacobs. He's at 7,500. So he's more expensive than Alvin Kamara in this game. And they both have the same ceiling. And they both have Kamara actually projects better than Josh Jacobs. But yet Josh Jacobs, $400 more. Both Kamara and Jacobs have high ownership. They're over 20%. They're both over 20%, under 25. So they're guys you may want to fade. And if you're fading them, then you got to think that this game starts becoming a passing game. You know, they start fading out of the run. You know, if you're right on fading the running backs and the passing game goes off, I mean, it's true, you know, Kamara is going to be involved in the passing game. So you could stick with him in any Andy Dalton madness you're doing. I don't think I'm going to be playing any Andy Dalton. I Bears guy. So I've seen what the Red Rocket could do. I know his ceiling, and he's just not worth it. You know, at 5,500, I'd rather save the 1,500 and go with the Colts quarterback at that price. Before the end of the show, we'll probably talk a little bit on how to handle the Colts game, because I don't think you're going to want to play much in that game. I don't think you want to do a run back. We'll get there. Anyways, Derek Carr right now is probably the play in this game. So 7% is what you're going to eat at ownership. Davante Adams, obviously a stud. I believe he has the highest ceiling of any player on the board this week. Let me just kind of check that out here. Tyreek Hill, Justin Jeffers, Cooper Kupp, and then Adams are the four players projecting over 30 points. They're the only four players projecting over 30 points at the skilled positions. So he's a guy you're definitely going to want to invest in. Only Tyreek Hill is cheaper than him. Cooper Kupp's $1,000 more. So, you know, I don't want to say you're getting a savings there, because it's, you know, you're probably going to end up with one of those guys in your lineups in most of your builds, because again, you're saving so much money elsewhere. You're probably going to want to grab one of those four guys, and the chalkiest being obviously Tyreek Hill, who you're probably going to want to fade outside of Miami Detroit games. Cause you know, you could see Tyreek Hill having a decent game, but not a great game. You know, and then Justin Jefferson, you know, just goes off. And he's got, you know, 10% less ownership. Cooper Kupp's the most expensive piece of anything on the board this week at 9,600. People are going to fade him because of that. You know, he's going to come in at about 8% ownership. So, I mean, that's going to be a decent play. But, yeah, Davante Adams, I think, is a good price point, good ownership projection. He just feels right as a play this week. That I'm probably going to want to get involved with, and not just this game, but in using him as my centerpiece in a lot of the games where I'm saving some money. Hunter Renfro's always playable, 4,900. You know, you're not going to have to look to get cheap wide receivers this week because of the quarterbacks. But you know, if you're looking to save in other game stacks, 4,900 for Hunter Renfro with a 15-point ceiling in a game that's projecting at 49.5 over-under, I think it's a good play. Mark Collins is 4,500. He projects at a ceiling of about 13 points, so he's worth looking at. Foster Moreau played excellent in the place of Waller. You know, he's obviously playable at 3,100. So there's just like those three guys, Adams, Renfro, Hollins, and Moreau are all interchangeable. You know, whatever stack you want to build, you know, you're probably going to need Adams to get to the ceiling. But pairing Adams with Renfro or Hollins or Moreau is just going to be whatever you feel like doing as far as saving. If you want the money, your cheapest option is going to be Foster Moreau at 3,100. And then the most expensive other piece is Hunter Renfro at 4,900. So again, there's just not a lot of issue with cost. On the New Orleans side, like I said, I'm not touching Andy Dalton, but looking at some of the game pieces, obviously Elvin Kamara is a good play this week, and he's projecting at about 20 points with a ceiling of about 28, and his price is 7,100. I don't think I'm going to go crazy with Elvin Kamara exposure. I'll probably be under that 21%. I'm probably going to set him at about 15, but he's definitely in play. Chris Olave has been, you know, just a smash this year. I mean, he's a new stud in the wide receiving groupings. He's 6K. And he's the most expensive of the wide receivers of the New Orleans Saints. And he's probably your best bet at a ceiling. He is projected high as far as ownership goes. He's looking at about 16%, which is a little more than I'd want to spend on as far as ownership goes, but see, I mean, he's been producing, you know, he's been consistent in his gameplay and his fantasy value. He has not had a week yet where he hasn't hit his projections. So, you know, with the case of missing a game, the guy's been on, you know, and he's exceeded his projections 60% of the time. So, I mean, you're just betting on consistency with him, and you're getting it, and I don't see why it's going to change against the Raiders. So he's a safe play in a lot of like if you're looking for a wide receiver two in other game stacks, he's a guy you're going to look for. Yeah, good play. And Juwan Johnson's another decent play, 3,200. You know, the tight end, he's getting the usage. You know, ceiling at 12 points. He's had five targets. The last three games, he's had five and six targets. So, and then he's also had two touchdowns in the last game against the Cardinals. I'm sorry, he had five targets, six targets, and two targets. One of those was a repeat. So they're using him, and they're using him more every week. So he's a guy who has value in this game. Again, another really cheap piece in a game that's projecting really well for fantasy. And then we move over to the Arizona Cardinals and the Minnesota Vikings. And this is probably the most expensive of the three games because you have Kyle Murray at 7,500 and you have Justin Jefferson at 91. And then you have DeAndre Hopkins at 7,400. Thielen is 6,200. So right now, I'm surprised that this game is actually projecting for as much ownership as it is. People are fading on Kyle Murray because of the price. So I think that's a smart play to actually go to him and try to get some exposure from the Arizona side, because everyone's going to be playing the Kirk Cousins side. He's 6,100. And both players project similarly. But Murray does have the higher ceiling. And again, he's one of the top two ceilings at the quarterback position projected. So, you know, Kyle Murray has been, well, he has been very inconsistent. He hasn't been hitting his projections over the last 4 weeks. He's gone under projections, which might mean he's due. I mean, the usage is there, you know, 37, 29, 42, 32 pass attempts. He's still using his legs somewhat. Yeah, rushing for, actually he's not. Oh, that's red zone. Seven attempts for 30 yards, 10 runs for 100, four for 42, 12 for 26. So, I mean, he's rushing. You know, he just keeps coming in under projections. He's put up 17 points, 19 points, 17 points, 23 points. Again, this week he's projected for 22. So the upside hasn't been there for him this year, and it just hasn't happened. But the Arizona Cardinals have looked better these last couple of weeks. And with Hopkins coming back, I think the offense is just kind of finally finding itself. And, you know, Hopkins got 14 targets last week, went 103 yards, didn't get a touchdown, so he's due. Excuse me. helps when there's a, you know, two people. You could get a little rest on the voice. So yeah, he had a 100 yards. He put up he got 23 DraftKings points last week. Hopkins definitely playable here. I mean, you're spending a lot to get a Murray Hopkins stack. And even Rondell Moore, I was just kind of like looking at options to play around it or double stack, which probably going to single stack this game. You know, Rondell is 5,100 and he seems to be kind of projecting downward. Greg Dortch just doesn't have enough ceiling to make the 4,100 justifiable. We just don't know yet what Robbie Anderson is going to do. He's 4K. If you want to punt at it with him, you know, nobody is playing him. He does project for, you know, 7 points, so he's going to be involved in the game. You know, he's got a ceiling of about 12. But if Robbie Anderson and Murray click right out of the gate, you know, that could be a good play. I wouldn't go more than, you know, 3% in like a 150 max of Robbie Anderson. Like I have no conviction on that play, but it's something I'm definitely going to look for to be able to get down at the spending of Kyle Murray, 7,500. If I want to play Kyle Murray, you know, the way most people are going to attack this game, as I said, is from the Minnesota side. Kirk Cousins coming in at 10% ownership. And his pieces are expensive too. You know, Justin Jefferson, 9,100, Thielen, 6,200, KJ Osborne, if you really want to get crazy, is 4,200. I don't like Osborne at all, so I'm doing a full fade on him. I will play a little Thielen and stacks. I'm still debating if I want a single stack or double stack this game. The pricing is so high, I may end up just single stacking, or I'm going to play a lot of Irv Smith at 3,500. Which actually is a pretty decent play. You know, he is projecting at 12% ownership, and with Cousins at 10% ownership, that's clearly the path everybody's taken. So, you know, you're just going to be playing with the field if you do that. So the contrarian thing to do is actually to spend up and find a way to get like Adam Thielen, not really spend up, but 6,200, Thielen's probably your best piece in a double stack. Whether it's a double stack with Irv Smith or a double stack with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen is a good play. You know, he's got a real ceiling, and he's got a good projection, and he's got a high floor. And they look for him in towards the end zone. So he does have some touchdown equity. So Thielen definitely worth mixing in on your stacks. Delvin Cook. If you want to look at the running back in this game, he has a good ceiling. He's 7,600. I'm definitely going to have exposure on him. You know, he just hasn't had a great year. As far as projections go, he's the last three of the last four games. He came under projection 3 times. Last week, he went over projection by 10 points. So we had a decent week last week, and maybe that continues this week. 13 touches, 77 yards, and a touchdown, and only one target for 6 yards in last week's game. But, you know, he got where he needed to go as far as projection goes. But definitely, we haven't seen a ceiling on Delvin Cook in a long time, and it's starting. You're really starting to feel it. And of course, you know, he's $2,000 now. Down from his peak, and he's very affordable. But you know, the last time we saw a ceiling from him, well, 2 weeks ago against the Bears, you saw 26 points, which was a good game. But the last time we saw a real ceiling was December of 2021, where he put up 38 points against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's been a long time for Delvin Cook, and yeah, I mean, at that price point, he's just going to be a hard play this week. I'm probably not going to look to play much Delvin Cook, but I will have a little bit of exposure. The field's at 5%. I may be about there. James Conner still questionable. We just don't know what's going to happen there. So that's kind of a wait and see between Eno and James Conner as to what you want to do there. Right now, it does look like maybe James Conner is going to play. And he actually projects pretty well. If he does play, if I get a late word on him and his ownership stays really low, I think he's going to be a good play this week, because 6,100 and no ownership is pretty enticing. I mean, that changes. If he's a game time decision, his ownership's going to stay really low. And if we get word early morning that he's going to play, you know, I think he's a good play. If Friday, if later tonight, you know, the injury report comes out and he's off it, or, you know, he's definitely playing Sunday, his ownership is going to come up some. I can't see it getting higher than, you know, 10, 15%. So he's definitely a good play with a decent ceiling in a game that, you know, it's in a dome and it's going to be fast. There's going to be a lot of running. So of the three games with the over-unders, this is my least favorite because of the pricing. You know, I do think Miami Detroit is the best game of the three, but I think that's going to be obvious because it does have the highest over and under, and I think a lot of people are going to be there. And if you want to win a very large field tournament, it's probably not one of these three games. And if you want to play a smaller tournament, you know, cash game, I'd be looking for pieces within those three games. But as far as tournament play goes, I think these are games you may want to just cut ties with, unless you're going to get really creative with ownership. So that just leaves the rest of the games. And the problem with this week, and the reason the over-unders are so low, is because the matchups that are good only have one side that's playing good football. You know, an example would be the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts, the highest projecting quarterback on the field, but they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are just terrible. So it's most likely Philly's just going to run a score up quick, and then they're just going to keep handing the balls off to Miles Sanders at 6,600. You know, he's just a fantastic play. He's projecting under 5%. I don't think that's true. I think he's going to. Well, let me look at another source of ownership here, see if we get a different take on it. Yeah, I mean, he's projecting under 5% ownership right now. Man, that's a smash. If that's going to hold true, I mean, absolutely smash Miles Sanders in a lot of your lineups, because he's going to be a nice pivot off of the chalk. And there are some chalky running backs this week in that same price point. Let me just kind of look at everybody here, see where he fits. So in that price range, you have is it screwing with me right now? There we go. Why is he doing that? Son of a bitch. It should be a simple sort, you know? You just hit the button and it sorts. But no, it's giving me problems here. You know, Mostert's 5,900, so a little bit cheaper with a better projection, but his ownership's going to be at about 18%. Nobody's really looking at Michael Carter right now, which might be a mistake. He's under 5%, but all the ownership in that price point is the guy we talked about at the top of the show. And, that's Tony Pollard, who just has a huge ceiling in a game against, you know, the Chicago Bears, who just, you could slash them on the ground. And Tony Pollard's exactly the kind of running back who could destroy the Bears. So he's eating the ownership at 33%. And then right there at the same price point, 6,300, you're looking at 24% ownership going to Damian Pierce of the Houston Texans. And then Stevenson of the Patriots is 6,400. And then Ken Walker III is 6,500 of the Seattle Seahawks. All those guys are at about 25% ownership. So all the ownership is condensing to, you know, five guys: Pollard, Pierce, Stevenson, Walker. And, you know, that means in most people's build, like, their number two running back is going to be one of these five guys. And that's where the chalk is going to be. So if you could get away, any opportunity you have to get away from those guys is key. And Miles Sanders just fits the description of a guy who's involved in the game plan in a game. Most likely the Philadelphia Eagles are just going to want to run the ball. You know, they're going to have a huge lead against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it just makes a lot of sense. You know, I kind of shat on DeAndre Swift earlier. He's 6,800. And because of these guys right here, that I mentioned are a little bit cheaper and project better, nobody's playing him. So he's another guy you're going to want to look at as a pivot off of the really chalky plays. And then David Montgomery, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are fierce against the run. So he's probably not, he's not projecting well, and he's seeing, you know, more snaps go to Khalib Herbert. So he's just kind of an ugly play. Delvin is getting so little work in the pass game this year. Very odd. Yeah. That's Ed checking in. I agree. That's why, man, I just like, he's just a hard guy to play right now. And the price on him just isn't, you know, for $400 more, I could get Jonathan Taylor. It just makes a lot more sense. And, you know, Saquon Barkley is right there at 8,100. People aren't going to be spending too high at running back. You know, if you want to play McCaffrey against the Rams, you know, go for it. He's under 5% ownership. And that's the guy when you see McCaffrey, you know, he's 8,700, which is a good price in under 5% ownership. That gets me excited. Derrick Henry is going to be the expensive guy everyone's going for this week. They're playing the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans are absolutely god-awful against the run. So he makes a lot of sense. He's right under that 30-point ceiling. He's at 29. He's 8,400. Like, he's a great play, but again, he's going to be the chalk. And I think that's just an easy fade. And I think the pivot is to spend the $300 more and go to McCaffrey, or spend, you know, or save $400 and go to Taylor, who just has no projection at ownership right now. So that's what I would do. I would stay away from Derrick Henry. It's such a great spot. And, you know, last week, Josh Jacobs was in that perfect spot and all the ownership was on Josh Jacobs, and it felt like a fade, but you couldn't. And it was smart if you didn't. I didn't fade him that hard. I think he was at 35% ownership. I think I kept him at about 30%. So that I don't think is this situation. I think Derrick Henry very much could have a bad game. You know, we've seen it with him. And, you know, over the last 4 weeks, he's actually beaten his projection. He's exceeding his projections 56% of the time on the year. But his ceiling just hasn't really been all that there. 19 points last week, 30, 26, 25. You know, if he gets under 30, it's probably a bad play. And he's only had 30 once in the last 3 weeks. You know, 25 points, 26 points, I'm not too excited about. And then last week he put up 19, which, again, I mean, it's just not gonna help you. But 30 attempts, 28 attempts, 22 attempts, 20. You know, he's good for 100 yards. With that many attempts, he's going to get it, and probably he's going to get you a touchdown. So, yeah, but I'm still going Jonathan Taylor over the two. What game was I talking about? Oh yeah, Philadelphia Pittsburgh. Man, it's the same scenario with a lot of these teams, because you have the Seattle Seahawks versus the New York Giants. Like, that game, of all the games on the lower price, that one just screams, play me. You have a real high tempo on both sides of the ball. Geno Smith's playing excellent. You know, Danny Dimes is doing Danny Dimes things. The problem, my concern really is the weather. It's the only game that has some weather concerns. And I think people are going to play this game a lot. You know, I think smart players are going to go to it. There's 54 degrees, possible light rain, 13-mile-an-hour winds. So I wouldn't fade it too far. Of all the games, it is most logical to be in the top over-unders on the week, to exceed its projected over and under at 44.5. I could definitely see the over-hitting. And, you know, it's in Seattle. Both quarterbacks are cheap, 5,800 on Geno Smith. Danny Dimes is 5,700. I think the New York Giants are actually pretty good against the pass, and they're pretty decent against the quarterback as well. I think the play is actually going to be Danny Dimes here over Geno Smith. And the field is probably, well, they're split even. They're both at about 7% ownership. So you don't need to take a stance on ownership. Let me just kind of look at some defensive numbers for the Giants. Yeah, I mean, they've held the quarterbacks in check. Trevor Lawrence put up 21 points. Lamar Jackson put up 18. Aaron Rodgers put up 16. The Chicago Bears put up 11. Cowboys 16. Panthers 13. So they haven't been challenged much, but they pretty much kept the quarterback position in check from a fantasy perspective. So I think Geno Smith is probably a fade this week. Not a full fade, but I'm more excited to play Danny Dimes and just do the Daniel Jones play. Save the $100, which isn't much, and it's not really needed. This is a game I might play both running backs against each other in some sneaky stacks. I might correlate and just think this game just plays out on the ground. And Ken Walker and Saquon Barkley, both are projected for high ownership. You know, Walker's at 27%, Barkley's at 15%. But I think playing them together is a move a lot of people aren't going to make. So, yeah, I'm not going to go crazy on that by any means. The only wide receiver I really like is Tyler Lockett. He's going to get about 16% ownership. He's in a smash spot, you know, with Metcalf not playing. The Giants have given up points to the wide receiver position, even though they've been able to shut down quarterbacks. They do give up points to the wide receiver. Let's kind of take a look at what they've done here. Yeah, I mean, they gave up 40 points to the Jaguars last week, 37 points to the Green Bay Packers, 36 points to the Dallas Cowboys. They did shut down the Ravens, but again, the Ravens don't really throw the ball. And they shut down the Bears, which isn't much of an accomplishment. So bad teams with bad wide receivers, the Green Bay Packers, Jacksonville Jaguars, has had success against this team. And Tyler Lockett, we know, is not a bad wide receiver. He's a good wide receiver. And with DK Metcalf sitting, I mean, he's going to have so much opportunity that he just feels like a really solid play all around. Like I'm probably, if his projected ownership stays at 15, I'm probably going to go to 25 to 30 on him. Something tells me the optimizer is going to calm me down a little bit and probably keep me around 20% ownership. But in hand builds, I think I'm going to be looking at Tyler Lockett. As far as the New York side, so if you want to do a stack with Danny Dimes, I think the run back is clear. It's just Tyler Lockett. He's 6,500. You know, you can find ways to get around the ownership. Danny Dimes only had 6% ownership anyways. And then I would stack him with Wandale Robinson at 4,700. The problem is that is what everybody is doing. Like that's the exact game plan. So if you want to get sneaky, if you want to go contrarian, Wendell Robinson's 4,700, $100 less, not projecting as well, but projecting no ownership is Darius Slayton. The guy's got speed. You know, he could get a deep ball and get you where you need to be. You know, a touchdown and 60 yards, 70, 80 yards is fine. Like that's a decent payoff at the price point. You know, last week he had 6 targets, caught 3 of them, gave you 58 and a touchdown, and got you 14 DraftKings points, which is fine. So, you know, pairing him with Danny Dimes and then running it back with Lockett would be a nice little contrarian stack that I think could serve you well and get you away from Wendell Robinson. But if you want to play it safe and you're playing in smaller tournaments, Wendell Robinson's the way to go there. And that's really it as far as games I like. Got about 15 minutes here left. There is a scenario where if, you know, it's funny because I'm a Bears fan, but the Chicago Bears, if they could at all press their offense against the dominating defense of the Dallas Cowboys play at a high rate. They get a lot of snaps in. They play at a very high tempo. And if the Bears can push them, they'll keep that tempo going. And if the Bears are pushing them, the Bears play at a pretty medium tempo, which is fine. And if they're challenging the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to have to pick up their tempo a little bit. And then this game suddenly becomes a sneaky shootout in a dome. But that's betting on the Bears offense, which is god-awful, on a short week, being able to do anything against the Dallas Cowboys. And I just don't see it happening, but that's the exact scenario where you win, you know, large field tournaments, because nobody's going to want to try it. Nobody's going to want to touch it. And yet there's logic into why it could work. Justin Fields is actually projecting better than Dak Prescott. As I mentioned earlier, he's the most expensive of all the cheap quarterbacks at 6,600. So people are just going to find other quarterbacks to play at that point. He's at 2% ownership. So really you could stack this game from either side. Dak Prescott, if somehow the Bears push the Dallas Cowboys, if somehow the momentum coming off of the big win against Bill Belichick's New England Patriots on a short week, if somehow they could just pull some bullshit, then this game could be a lot of fun. So I'm definitely going to have exposure on it. Like I said, I'm probably not going to do any David Montgomery this week. Tony Pollard is the chalk. And I think I might fade him. It kind of feels like that scenario that I was talking about with Josh Jacobs last week, where it felt like the perfect storm, even though everything told you to fade it because ownership got so high, you were better off not and just eating the chalk and finding your ways to be different elsewhere. That's what Pollard is feeling like, but I don't know. I don't know. Let me take a peek at what the Bears have been doing against the run defensively, as far as fantasy points goes. I got to think they're pretty bad against the run. Actually, they're not horrible. They've held running backs to 25, 22. They gave up 33 against the Minnesota Vikings, and then 23 against the New York Giants. So if you could hold a, you know, and that's combined running backs. So that would be all running backs involved in a game. So if they could do that with Saquon Barkley, you know, hold the New York Giants to 23 points on the ground, certainly there's paths for Tony Pollard and the chalk to fail. There's a realistic chance. And 6,100 in those pivots, like I said, Miles Sanders is probably like a great pivot away from Tony Pollard. I just recommend doing that and staying away from Pollard. And if you think the Bears are going to shut down Tony Pollard and they're going to force this game through the air, then yeah, I mean, there could be a sneaky shootout here. Unlikely. I mean, I wouldn't go crazy. I'd go about 5% ownership on maybe both sides. So 5% total, 2.5 on each, probably 3 on each. I'd go 6%. CeeDee Lamb, great play, great situation. You know, Darnell Mooney, if you think the Bears are going to do it through the air, he's probably your best bet. Noah Brown, questionable. I believe he's going to play. He's 4,300. Yeah, Gallup's 5K. Not great projections, though. But if I'm playing this game, if I'm stacking Dak, it's going to be Lamb, it's going to be Gallup, maybe a little bit of Noah Brown. I would run it back with Darnell Mooney. And Dalton Schultz is a great play. I mean, I think that's the way to go. And the ownership's going to be there as well. He's about 10% ownership, 3,700. I think people realize that's kind of like the good play for Dak. And he's definitely one of the two pieces if you're double stacking. Schultz is probably going to be in 100% of double stack lineups. You know, you're not going to see many, if at all, any Gallup Lamb stacks, the double stack. So you may want to throw one of those in there just to go against the field and see Dak Prescott, you know, feed his stars and have a big day. And then again, run it back with Mooney. I think the Bears side's just more fun. I would play Justin Fields, and you could stack him with anybody. 4,800 for Mooney is probably your safest bet. You know, obviously there's going to be no ownership there, so you can do whatever you want here. You know, Pettis is 3,900. I don't think he has enough of a ceiling. Armand St. Brown's a brother. Aquarius, I get that wrong, but if you come to this show for names being pronounced right, you're in the wrong place. 7 targets last week. 4 receptions, 48 yards. So if he's going to get 7 targets, you know, St. Brown, the St. Brown brothers are worth betting on at 3,900. So I would throw him in the mix. Keneal Harry, you know, the Patriot who never did anything, not playable. I'd do a full fade on him. And Cole Kmet, 2,900. They like to get him involved. He's a possible play as well. So, I mean, you'd be saving a lot of money going with the Bears. But again, it's not needed. But you would be very contrarian to the field. But it's just such a long shot. It's probably not even worth considering. I probably put too much time talking about it. What are the other games here? Just going to go Carolina, Atlanta, 41.5 over and under. It's just not a lot to really talk about there. PJ Walker is going to get another start. I think he's playable at 52.5. It's just both these teams are notorious for playing slow football. You know, the Falcons will like get their asses kicked and they only threw the ball 22 times. Like just terrible gameplay. And I feel like Carolina is actually pretty good against the quarterback position. So it's just not a favorable matchup for Marcus Mariota. And P.J. Walker is P.J. Walker, and this is an XFL, you know, fantasy. So I don't think he's really a great play. The running backs are always interesting in a game like this. This might be another good game to, like, correlate the two running backs against each other in other stacks. You know, nobody's going to do that. Nobody's playing either of these running backs to begin with. And they're not projecting bad. You know, Chuba Hubbard is projecting for about 10 points. And Tyler Allgeier is projecting for about 10 points. Both have about a 20-point ceiling. And then Foreman, if Hubbard ends up sitting, Foreman's actually a really good play. He'd get all the work, and I think he would be a guy you'd want to definitely consider on the week. So I'm just kind of waiting on news on what Chuba's situation is going to be. And yeah, but that's really it in that game. Oh yeah, and then of course DJ Moore. You know, for so long we've been hoping something would happen with DJ Moore. We'd finally see his target share being utilized to get some points, and that finally happened. So I think a lot of people are going to be going back to the well on him this week, and I think it's a safe play. He had 10 targets last week, 7 targets the week prior, 8 targets, 11 targets, and last week he finally put up, you know, 19 DraftKings points when he's been under 15 the rest of the year. So I think people are going to like him. He's at 14% ownership right now, which seems a little high, but oh, wow, no, he's at 25% ownership, which is a little scary, but people are going to want to see what he could do here. And I think he has a little bit of chemistry with P.J. Walker. That might be a fade for me, though, at that point. His price isn't great either. It's 5,300. You know, if he was under 5K, for sure that'd be a smash play. But I would imagine he probably has the highest ceiling in that price point. So that's probably why he's projecting so well and people are playing him. You know, the New England Patriots versus the Jets, just nothing. San Francisco versus the Rams is interesting. It's only projecting for 42.5, which isn't very exciting. And, you know, there's stars in this game that are worth playing. By the way, Van Jefferson looks like he's going to play this week. And he's 3K. So if you're looking for a punt, and it turns out he is definitely getting in the lineup, I think Van Jefferson's worth checking out. Allen Robinson, 5,200. He's finally starting to see, you know, positive upswing in his fantasy play. And Debo Samuel, questionable, but he's 7,500. And then Cooper Kupp, most expensive player on the board, and one of the highest ceilings. I don't think people are going to want to play him, even in one-offs. But the guys in the last four games, he's hit his projections twice. He's exceeding his expectations 44% of the time in the last 10 games. In the last month, he's exceeded expectations 67% of the time. And he's averaging 5 points over expectation, and he obviously has the highest projection of any player. So, I mean, that's a good thing. But he hasn't put up over 30 fantasy points for a couple weeks now. He gave 16, 29, 28, and 16. So, I mean, he either gets there or doesn't. But the target share is there every week. So he's playable. He's playable, and only 8% of the field is going to play him. Definitely not a cash play, but probably a pretty decent tournament play. I'd rather have pieces of this game than actually a stack. And that just leaves us with the Colts quarterback, who is an unbelievably 4K. It's just like, what do you do with this game? It's the Redskins. It's not even projecting for 40 points. You're looking at 39.5. Like, I might just go naked on the quarterback, on Ellinger. I might go naked because the value is so good there that you could just like correlate like a great expensive passing game, which you really don't have this week. You know, it's just kind of the idea here, just shooting it out there. If you play Ellinger as the quarterback in the Minnesota-Arizona game, you could afford probably most of the pieces. Let me just try to build a lineup real quick here. So, you know, let's throw Ellinger in at quarterback. All right, guy, what's happening? Why isn't it working? Okay. And let's just get the pieces we want in the Minnesota-Arizona game. So let's just shoot for the ceiling. Like, let's just buy ceiling here. So let's get Justin Jefferson. Let's get DeAndre Hopkins. Let's get Adam Thielen. And let's see here. I'll just do a quick ceiling generation here with my player pool. Let's filter players. This is riveting. Yeah, this is why the Clark here to, you know, bounce off these ideas. And help me stall here while I'm trying to do this. All right, so let's get into my pool. Select all games. Let's go optimize to ceiling. All right, let's see what it gets us. All right, it's thinking about it. So playing all the guys we want to play in that game, all the ceiling, my running backs would be, and I have zero restrictions set on ownership. So I absolutely would not play this team because the ownership is so high. I don't have my optimizer set yet to bring the ownership down because, yeah, crazy. But anyways, Tony Pollard, Kenneth Walker III, Noah Fant, DJ Moore in the flex would be the team. So, you know, and that projects for a 200-point ceiling, which is pretty good. So, yeah, I think you could get really creative with Ellinger, whether it be this game or other games. You know, if you just find correlation in your lineup. You know, I threw some ideas out there with double running backs, which worked last week. I forget which game it was, but if you played both running backs, it actually was a really good play that nobody was doing. Yeah, it's not a popular play in fantasy because it generally doesn't correlate well. But when it makes sense, when you feel like two games are going to go to the run, it's sometimes worth checking out. Like Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Miles Sanders. I'm not playing the Pittsburgh running back. So I'm not pool selects. Let's go all players. Najee Harris, 5,700. You know, he projects decent. Miles Sanders, I think, is under-projecting and undervalued. Who, by the way, he's going to be my play of the week. Miles Sanders is my my pick of the week. And we generally do a stack of the week. And I'm looking at – I generally don't do it. I don't pick the chalk one, but I'm going to go Detroit-Miami. Like, just get creative with it, but be there. You know, be involved in that game. If you're looking for a tournament – you know, depending on the weather, the Giants, Seattle makes the most sense. And then if you want to get really crazy, like I said, the Chicago Bears, Detroit, Dallas Cowboys game is there's a weird scenario where, in fact, it could be a tournament winner. So those are the plays. Let me just look at overall player positions and see if anything stands out. You know, we talked a lot about quarterback. You know, there's guys we could definitely cancel. You know, I'm not going to play any Matt Stafford. I'm not going to play Garoppolo. I'm not going to play Tannehill. I'm not going to play Wilson, Pickett. Mariota, I think I'm going to be clicking the off button on here. I'll probably be involved with some Derek Carr. Geno Smith, because of ownership, it just might be a good fade this week. You know, he was the flavor of the week last week. Dak Prescott, there's reasons to fade, but I think his ownership's so low that he's actually a good play. Looking at the running back position, I think we really covered running back already. We talked the chalk. Tony Pollard, I think, is bad chalk. I think he's a guy to get away from. Threw you some options there already. Tony Pollard, Walker, Pierce, Stevenson, of the three. I mean, Walker is the best play of the three. So I'd rather play Walker over Pollard. But their ownership is very close. I think Pierce at under 25% ownership, but, you know, like 23% ownership, not great, is probably the best play as far as a tournament goes. If you're going to eat chalk, you know, it's the Tennessee Titans. They're going to run. It's just a game to run the ball. By the way, Cooks is in a really good spot in that game. I didn't mention him, but I do think Delvin Cook should be able to torch the Titans. So he's a great play. Looking at it, we didn't really cover ownership on wide receiver. Right now, DJ Moore is the highest projecting owned player on the field at the 5,300. The highest priced, highest owned player is Tyreek Hill. I think both of them are pretty safe to fade. I'm more concerned about Hill hitting like a 40-point ceiling than I am about DJ Moore giving me 30 points, which would be a fantastic day at that price point for him. Both of them are definitely in the realm of possibility. So, you know, that's why people are playing them. That's why they're harder to just, you know, say, hey, I'm going to walk away from the chalk. But I think they're worth considering fading. Chris Olave is a good play. He's eating the ownership. He's a little under 20%, you know, as say 18% ownership. It's okay. I would be fine being there at the field or above the field. Justin Jefferson, 16% ownership, you know, 31-point ceiling. Definitely okay with that. His price is 9,100, but there's so much savings on this board. Like I said, I think you're going to be able to do whatever you want. And Wandale Robinson, we talked about. I think he's a guy you're going to want to limit your exposure on. With the same ownership, I think Tyler Lockett is the opposite. I think you go overboard on your ownership. You know, try to beat the field. And then Armand St. Brown is just in a smash spot in a dome in the highest over-under on the field. And he's only projecting slightly above 10% ownership. So that's a guy who I'm going to play 20%. And I did last week, and, you know, it hurt me. But that was because of a situation that just couldn't be avoided. It was a medical issue that really wasn't. He's 6,900. The dude's still priced too cheap. You know, he's a $7,500 wide receiver. And the savings at 6,900 is just fantastic. He hasn't hit projection. You know, with working through the injury over the last month. So, I mean, that's concerning, but the ceiling is real. We know it's there. You know, 42 points against the Washington Commanders, you know, early in the season. And really, I mean, that was his only smash game of the year. But I think he's due. So I'm putting a lot of exposure on him. And, Yeah, and then always, like, if you're betting against one guy, like I said, kind of fading on Tyreek Hill, even though he's a great play, that means, you know, Waddle, you're going to want to be overweight on. He's only at about 10% ownership. So I think Waddle at 20, you know, putting 20% of your ownership on Waddle works. It's a good it's good balance measure to get away from, take like 10% of the ownership off a Hill and give it to Waddle. So I think that covers it. I wish you the best of luck this week. You know, I've won a couple tournaments. They've all happened the first week of November. So next week's going to be a very exciting show. You know, last year I was suspended, so I couldn't play my big week, my magical week in fantasy. So I'm very excited about next week's slate. My gameplay last week was a disaster. You know, a lot of it, I think a lot of people's was because of injury. You know, we've had pretty good success giving advice on the show, and you know, the players we've named as good plays have often turned out. Last week that was not the case, so you know, hopefully this week will be better, and we'll build a little more trust with you guys, and hopefully Clark will be back next week. Again, he's getting inside information on Tony Pollard. He's going to let us know exactly what's happening there, and you know, Rygar the cat. She wishes you luck as well. And we'll see you next week. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to join me and Clark on Tuesdays for our regular show. That show is a lot less fantasy. It's a sports show, but we hardly talk any sports. You know, we just we talk life. And it's a good time. So come join us. Till next time, have a good night.
Pig. Ooh.